to them, and they can't step without you taking a step. And where they go, you go. And everything that they experience and participate in, you experience and participate in. And that's exactly the kind of relationship that we ought to have with our God. That we ought to feel His presence and know His presence in our life every day. I want to talk about that some more this morning. Last week I talked about how we can know the reality of God's presence, to know that He is there. This morning I want to make some more application, specifically to talk about how we should live each day inviting God into our lives. This passage in James chapter 4, verse 8, the one we began with, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. And that clearly implies that there is something you can do to make that happen. Maybe you're not as close to God as you need to be or you want to be. Well, it doesn't have to stay like that. There are things that you can do to draw near to God. And when you do those things, God will draw near to you. We talked about some of them last week. Again this morning, I want to make some more specific application to our everyday lives. We need to invite God into our daily lives. A lot of situations where somebody wants to experience what another person experiences. And so they may ask, can I come along with you? Or there may be a situation where they say, look, I want you to see what my life is like. Come and follow me. Like doing a ride-along with a police officer. Or someone who's works as an EMT. And I guarantee you, if you did a ride-along with a police officer or an EMT, you would see things and know things that it would amaze you what these good people have to deal with every day. Well, we need to invite God into our lives. Not because He needs to experience our lives, but we need to know and experience His presence in our lives. We need to make that happen. God should not be an occasional visitor in our lives. Where you go to church and you read some out of the Bible and maybe you participate in a prayer or sing a song and then you go home and you forget about Him for the rest of the week. That is not the kind of Christianity that we read about in the Bible. That is not the religion of God. He should be a constant friend. Constant presence in our lives. And to know it, to have an awareness of it, that God is in my life. And I've said this before so very often, we see people on the news about terrible things happen to them that they have brought on themselves. And we make this comment, my wife and I do to each other, that person does not have God in their lives. And that's the shame, that's the tragedy. Not just the terrible thing that happened to them, not just the calamity that has happened because of their sin or by their bad choices, but because of what led to that. And that is the lack of God in their life. We can't afford to be that way. We need to invite God into our life. We should think about Him, include Him, and look for Him. There's one of those EMTs right now. Are you pulling away from God in your life? Are you not being close to Him? Are you not drawing close to Him every single day? Well, how can you do that? Well, you know, we should pray. And I'm not talking about just formal prayers where you know, maybe just when you get up in the morning or just when you eat a meal. I'm talking about throughout your day. Do you have occasional conversations with God where you ask for His help and guidance and acknowledge Him? And I don't know how to describe it or explain it other than that. It just, things happen to you. And there are people in your life that you want to share that with. And you might do that through texting, or you might do that through Facebook, or you call them up and say, you know what just happened to me? Or I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. Or what can I do about this? And sometimes people call me and they say, what do you make of this? How can I deal with this? And I don't mind them calling me because, you know, I want to be there for them. I want to be a brother. I want to be a fellow Christian. Well, you know, somebody that we should have in our life that's like that is God. We need to be talking to God, asking for His help, as we've already looked at Philippians 4 and verse 6, in every situation, as one translation puts it, in all things. But this is pretty good here. In every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In every situation, well, why do you think He says that? And the context is one in which a person has anxiety, they're worried, they've got troubles, there's a problem. And Paul says, well, here is a possible solution. Pray to God about it. In every situation, when you've got an issue or a problem, pray to God about it. Talk to Him. It can be a quiet thing, sitting at your desk or driving down the road. It doesn't have to be formal. God is always there. Express to Him. Talk to Him. Matthew 7 and verse 7. Here's a way of translating this that actually, I think, conveys even more accurately what Jesus is saying. Matthew 7, 7, keep asking, and it will be given to you. Keep searching, and you will find. Keep knocking, and the door will be opened to you. And the verb tense here is present active imperative, which expresses continuous action, and that's what this particular translation brings out. Don't just do it once. Don't just do it occasionally. Keep doing that. I've gotten the habit of whenever a question comes up about some fact or factoid, you know, I'll get on my phone and I'll ask Siri. And Siri's not always very helpful. She's kind of got an attitude sometimes. But God is always helpful. If you've got an issue, a question in your mind about why is this happening? How can I better deal with this? How can I handle this? What's going to happen here? Ask. Search. Knock. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, Jesus puts it this way. He told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always, always pray and not lose heart. He tells the story of the woman who keeps pestering the reluctant judge or the indifferent judge and pestering him every day about her court case, about the issue she has. And eventually the judge says, oh, I just want to get this woman out of my life. And so he rules in her behalf. And the Lord says, you know, if some dishonorable judge will eventually give in to your persistence, how much more do you think God? When you ask, when you pray to Him, God's going to come through. He's going to help you. You've got to believe that. And your willingness every day to be engaging God in that way, it draws Him close. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I try to do this, and sometimes I fail to do it. But when something good happens, and sometimes I know it's trivial, it's just something bothering me or something minor in my life, but sometimes it's something that happens that's very good news, and I'll just take a moment and I'll thank God for that. Just thank Him. And sometimes it's as simple as seeing a rainbow or seeing a burst of sun rays coming through the clouds or something beautiful that I see, and I just say, thank you, God. And sometimes I have an encounter with somebody, and it becomes positive, and it becomes a reassuring thing, and I say, thank you, God. Why not? Constantly ask yourself, what would God have me to do? What would my Lord want me to do? Psalm 19, verse 14. This is an expression that you find several places in the psalm. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You know, when you pray something like that, or when you think it, and that's more to the point, when you're living your life and day to day and you encounter somebody, you're talking to them, and you're thinking about what you're going to say, and you think in your mind, Lord, help me to say the right thing. Help me to think the right thing. How should I think about this? Psalm 141 and verse 3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. It's very reassuring when you know that somebody's watching out for you, right? You got a security camera, or you've got a monitor, or somebody is directing traffic and they're watching and they say, okay, it's clear, you can come on. That's reassuring. Well, God can be that for you in your spiritual life, in your moral life. He can always be there for you. You need to be thinking about Him. You need to be paying attention to Him, what His will would be for you in your life. It'll keep you from saying hurtful and stupid things. It will keep you from getting yourself into trouble. And just knowing that He's there, it'll make you feel better. Have you ever accidentally dialed somebody on your phone? The guys at work have a reference to it that's not appropriate. But accidentally you call somebody, and there it is, and they can hear you talking. They can hear every word you're saying. You better be careful what you're saying. You got those phones on you because you never know who might be listening, right? Well, God's always listening. God is always listening. And if you're aware and you're thinking about it, God is listening. I can't believe it. Sometimes these television shows, these reality shows, which I don't really care much for, but these people know that the camera's on them. They know that the whole world's listening, and the most ridiculous things that come out of their mouth. And I gotta believe that they just are doing it for entertainment or whatever, because I can't believe that people say things like that or do things like that in front of the whole world. Well, it's always in front of God. God is always listening. And the more cognizant, the more aware we are of that, the more we know of His presence in our life, and to think in your mind, God, Lord, help me. Help me to say the right thing. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Acknowledge Him. You know, when you come to an intersection in your car and somebody else comes up right at the same time, you know, and you're trying to figure out, well, who has the right of way, who's going to go first, and you give that little signal, you know, go ahead and go, or you start out, you know, you acknowledge that person, or somebody lets you cut into a line of traffic and you give them a little way, you acknowledge, thank you. Well, you need to acknowledge God in your life and say, you know, God, you've given me this direction. I understand from your word, from your teaching, from the example of your son, how you want me to behave. And I acknowledge you. I recognize that you're there, that you have spoken, that I have communication from you, Lord, and I know that. I acknowledge your presence. By respecting what you would have me to do in this moment. And I'm not going to just do whatever I want. I'm not going to do just whatever pops into my head or whatever selfish thing that suits me for the moment. Instead, I'm going to acknowledge your presence. I'm going to say, Lord, you are there. You have spoken. I acknowledge you. That's the way we ought to live our life every single day. In all your ways, acknowledge you. Proverbs 16, verse 3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Now, there's a lot of different ways to commit to the Lord whatever you do. You certainly think about what he would have you to do and try to ascertain what is the best possible thing spiritually for your eternal soul, for the souls of the people around you. You think about what the Lord's commands are, and his morality, his instructions. But you also pray to him, and you ask for his guidance, and you ask for his help. And here's the thing about that. You don't have to be the smartest person in the world. You don't have to be the most intelligent. You don't have to have the best plan in the world. Because if you've got the God of heaven and earth on your side, watching over you, and you are committing your actions and your plans to the Lord, he's going to get it covered. He's going to take care of you. That's a wonderful thing. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. This passage is a messianic passage. It's talking about how beautiful and wonderful it will be in the day of the Messiah. And this is something it says, very interesting. It says, whether you turn, Isaiah 30, 21, whether you turn to the right or to the left. See, sometimes you don't know which way to go. You're thinking about it. What am I going to do here? In this moment, in this situation, whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Now, I don't think that this passage is talking about hearing voices. You know, if you're hearing voices in your head, you know, you need to go get that checked out. It's talking about the instruction and the knowledge and the understanding of the revelation that God has given to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, and he speaks to us, and knowing his teaching and being aware of it and meditating on it and thinking about it. And it affects our attitude and our thinking every day. It's like a voice. It's like a voice, metaphorically speaking. It's whispering in our ear. You know, you got your GPS that's telling you at every, you know, go straight. Go straight, turn here, turn is about to come up. It's very helpful, sometimes not so much. Sometimes, you know, you pass it up and say, nearest intersection, make a U-turn. You know, you missed your turn, you got to go back. Well, God is right there. He's got your back. He's right there. He's telling you, this is the way. And if you're in tune with him, if you're in tune with God's will in your life, it's a beautiful thing. Luke 9:23, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. And I'm not suggesting that this is all going to be easy. Being a follower of Jesus Christ and inviting him into your life means that you follow his example. And part of Jesus' example is one of sacrifice. And we make sacrifices, and we make sacrifices every single day of our life. We make a sacrifice for the Lord. We don't regret it. We don't get bitter about it. We don't get mad about it. It's hard, it's difficult to pick up that cross daily and follow Jesus, but it is Jesus that we're following. And when you follow somebody, they are right there with you. And when we do the things that Jesus asks us to do, and we refrain from immorality and evil speech and evil thoughts, and we forego certain pleasures and certain activities, and when we refrain from being mean and vindictive and hateful, like we would feel like doing, but we refrain, we restrain, that's part of it. When we're generous and kind, even to people who aren't generous and kind to us, we make that sacrifice. When we speak the truth, even though what we get is ridicule, Jesus is right there. You are following Jesus every day. Galatians 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When you are living every day the life of Christ, Christ is with you. He is with you. And of course, reading and meditating on the Word of God. And there are many passages that talk about this. I'll just read a couple. Oh, how. This is Psalm 119. I read the whole psalm a couple weeks ago on Sunday night. Beautiful psalm. Psalmist meditates and thinks about the Word of God, what it means to him personally in his life. And he says here in verse 97 through 99, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. Your commands are always with me. Always with me. Always with me. Psalm 119 and verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. One of the more useful things about having a phone is when it's dark. On your cell phone, you got a little flashlight there. You just turn it on. It gives a little glow and lights up the way. And I use that thing all the time at night. Getting out of your car, it's a little dark. You just turn your phone on, you use the light. Can't see the keyhole, you use the light. If you're thinking about meditating upon the law of God, not just here and now, but every day, maybe you've got one of those apps on your phone, a daily Bible verse, or maybe you get a daily text. Jeff Carr, whom some of you know, he sends out an email just about every day, Bible verse, makes a little brief comment. I get that thing every day. I just take a moment. You know how it is when you're doing your emails. Oh, I got an email. No, I got to clear that. But just take a moment. You read that verse. You think about that. Lamp to your feet. Light to your path. And finally, brethren, praise God. Praise Him. He's worthy of praise, and not just now in this worship service, but always and every day. Things happen, praise God. Praise Him quietly, praise Him openly. There's so many passages that express this concept. I'll just read a few of them. Joshua 22 and verse 33, they were glad to hear the report and praise God. Now, how do you know? How do you know they were praising God? They said, praise God. They expressed it. Or this passage in Psalm 145 and verse 2. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Every day. Luke 23, verse 47. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, certainly this man is innocent. Now this man was a heathen. But he recognized when God did something, and he said so. God did this. Praise God. What a wonderful blessing. Praise God. Is it so hard to say? Luke 7, verse 16, they were all filled with awe and praised God. I've told this story before. I really like it. It's about the guy who comes into the worship assembly, you know, and every once in a while he lets out a praise the Lord, praise God. And this is kind of a stuffy church, and so afterward a couple of guys take him aside and say, "No, fella, you're welcome to come here, but, you know, we're kind of conservative here. We don't praise God." Well, let that never be so. God is great. Praise God. Acts 11 and verse 18, the brethren, when they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God. Praise God that the Gentiles have entered in to the hope of salvation. Praise God. In conclusion, we should do all of these things as a matter of habit. Not because it's some ritual, not for show. You know, when I'm suggesting that maybe you ought to acknowledge God, praise God, or you need to talk to God, or you need to do some of these things, I'm not saying that you do them just because it's a have-to kind of a thing. Don't we want God in our lives? Of all of the people in the world, shouldn't we be the people who feel his presence? Shouldn't we be the people who acknowledge him, who invite him into our lives, who speak of him, who talk to him? And to rejoice in his presence in our life. We should. We should do them because it draws us closer to our God. That's exactly where we want to be. Close to God. That's my lesson this morning. Now, sin separates us from God. And you cannot draw close to God with your sin. And you may not be aware of that in your life now. Maybe you're not aware of the fact that if you're not in Jesus Christ, you have sin in your life, and that separates you from God, and you can never get close to him. You will never get close to God with sin in your life. And the only way to get rid of it is in Jesus Christ. You may not be aware of it now, but if you died outside of Jesus Christ and you died in your sin, you would become immediately and forever aware that you're never going to be close to God. Do you want that? You may not feel such a need to draw close to God now, but oh, how you will want to then. You see, the problem is that God is present in your life, and the blessings that you receive, and the goodness of the people around you, and the beauty of this world, God is close to you. You're just not acknowledging it. You're not respecting it. But if you were to die outside of the Lord, you would be someplace where there would be nothing of God. Not one blessing, not one pleasant thing, not one bit of peace, not one bit of joy. You would be forever estranged from God. Draw close to God in Jesus Christ. Invite him into your life by obeying the gospel. Declare your faith in him and be baptized. Paul says that, don't you know that when you were baptized into Christ, you were baptized into his death? Do you want to join Christ? Do you want to be near him and close to him? Come and obey the gospel this morning.